the Lord is doing among us. His presence is continuing to increase in our midst. Are you aware of that? We don't want just a visitation from Him. We want it to be a habitation for Him to be here and to increase His presence. It's their heart to raise up sons in the house, but it's also their heart to raise up daughters in the house. So I just want to say thank you to the leadership for inviting me to share this morning. Thank you. You know, we live in a fatherless generation. Many fathers are absent from their homes for various, you know, different reasons. And many fathers in the home do not know how to love with a father's love. And it is because they were not loved with a father's love. Now, you cannot give away what you haven't received yourself. And when I think about my life, you know, of course, the first thing that needed to happen, you know, when I received Jesus into my heart, I went to church all my life, but only in my early 20s did I actually give my life to Jesus. And then I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but only a few years after that, that I received the heart of the Father, that I received a revelation of who the Father is, and it completely changed my life. My little world was so small where I was born and raised in South Africa, and my thinking was so small. But when the Father started to speak identity into my life and who He is and the plans He has for me, I've now been to so many places in the world. And, you know, I used to think it's boring to be a Christian, but I realized how boring my life was before I knew the Lord. You know, with Him, when He opens doors for us, He can open doors that no man, you can not even think about it. But He is the creator of the universe. He's the beginning and the end. You know, and He's our Father, and He wants us to know Him as a Father that is there for us, and that He believes the best about us, and He is the only one who knows what He's put inside of us. You know, He knows what makes us come alive. And doesn't matter how old we are, He has a special plan for each one of us. And as we get to know Him, and as we trust Him, and as we build that relationship with Him, He wants to open so much for us. There's so much more. He wants to dream with us. You know, He's put dreams in my heart that it's so out there. It's no way, you know, I can do it without Him. And that's where He wants us. He wants us to have these dreams that we can only do with Him, because that's what He has for us. He is so amazing, and He's so big. He's so beautiful. You know, but the Father's love that I'm talking about, that people, that most of us have not received. And you know, and there are many good fathers, but no father is perfect. The only perfect Father is God the Father. So this love, this Father's love that I'm talking about, yes, it's the love that provides. It's the Father's love that protects. But it's also the Father's love that can look at His child eye to eye and say, I love you. And that eye contact, you know, the tone of the voice, everything speaks, I love you, just for who you are. And just pour that love into that child. You know, Jesus, at his baptism, the Father said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And at that time, Jesus, his ministry hadn't started yet. And the Father affirmed him that he's well pleased with him. We all need that, to be affirmed, to be loved, and just in who we are, not besides from the things we do, just in who we are, that we are enough. You know, and this Father's love I'm talking about is a love that nurtures, a love that has compassion, a love that takes time, just takes time just to be with you and give you advice and give you input and help you with direction. It's a love that shares heart to heart, that's not afraid to be vulnerable, to share heart to heart and to call you forth. And it's a Father's love that disciplines, but from a place of love. It's not from a place of anger or frustration. You know, just on Friday, Andy, I wanted to say that about him again, that, you know, part of God's plan, if I didn't trust him, I would not have met my American-born English husband in Canada. You know, it's, you know, many times it's such a reality for me of all the things I would have missed if I did not know the Father on that place, to trust him, to take that big risk. I've taken many big risks, and the only way I could have done that is because I knew my Father would be there, that even if I missed it, he would not let me fall beyond his arms. And Friday, Andy was just being with a man who really carries the heart of a father, and he came home and he said, wow, Margarita, was so good to be with a father. This man just listened to him and affirmed him and gave him some input, and it really blessed him. He just came in and just said, hey, it was just so wonderful. And you know, but many people don't even know that they need the Father's love. You know, I was one of them. I was tough, and you know, I knew how to look after myself. You know, I was a survivor. And for many people, it's culturally. There's many cultures that do not value the love of a father, affirming their children, giving hugs and cuddles. Some cultures do it as babies, but as the kids grow up, the parents distance them from their children. And some cultures are not, you know, affectionate kind of cultures. And some cultures are just very destructive and abusive. Like one of the countries, I was there a few months ago, and you know, the women there, when you ask them about their father, they usually first say, I have a good father, because they have a house to live in and they have food on the table. And like this one lady, I asked her about her father, and she said, I have a good father. And then only a few questions later, she said how he is an alcoholic and how he has physically have thrown them against the wall. And because of what that said to her about her value and who she is, she was completely okay to marry the same kind of man. When I started to talk to her and minister to her, and it took some time, but then when the breakthrough came and she started to receive the revelation of the Father, she was just weeping. And at one point she said, yeah, I get it. I'm starting to get it now. And it was just so beautiful how the Lord has impacted her life. And, you know, for some people, it's this tradition or this brokenness in the family. And, you know, for some people, it's this lies that we believe. And again, it's culturally and depends on people's background, that men don't cry, men don't show emotion. It's a weakness to show emotion. And as I was getting ready for this time, the Lord kept on putting this picture in my mind. So I'm going to show it to you. Thank you, Andy.
Careful with that egg.
Yeah. See this egg? It looks pretty tough, doesn't it? It's hard, it's got a hard shell, and looks pretty tough. But when this egg gets pressure, when there's pressure put on this egg, what happens? It breaks. Oops. But what happens? It just breaks. It cannot take any pressure. Thank you. I had a knock in there, the first service, I forgot. It cannot take any pressure, and for different people, that looks differently. For some people, when pressure comes, they withdraw and they hide, or they close their hearts. And some people, it's like a time bomb. You do not know what's going to happen. You do not know how they're going to act, how they're going to explode, how they're going to handle this pressure. But you know, when our strength is in the Lord, it is like this sponge. When you put pressure on it, what happens? It just goes back. So whatever comes to us in life, whatever situation, we are able to process it with the Lord, and we'll come back out. It's not crushed. And the Lord brought this scripture to me this morning, actually, while I was here. It is in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So when our strength is in the Lord, and when our hearts are open and vulnerable to Him, our lives can be like this. You know, if you look at the life of David, David killed the lion. David killed the bear. David killed Goliath. And nobody messed with David's mighty men. He was an incredible man of influence. And in the Psalms, David says, "But Lord, when I'm with you, I'm like a weaned child with his mother." David is saying about his yearning for God's nurture, to be like a little baby with his mother. Just like a little floppy little baby. His need for intimacy, his need for that comfort, that nurture. So David was the man of influence, the man who killed the lion, who killed the bear, who killed Goliath, because he was vulnerable before the Lord. His heart was tender before God. He was not afraid of intimacy. He was open to share, heart to heart. You know, and as I said earlier, no earthly father is perfect. There are many good fathers, praise the Lord. But the only perfect father is God the Father. But our earthly fathers are like the glasses we look at our Heavenly Father. They're the first impression of Father, because the Father gave us fathers to show who He is, but then sin came into the world, and brokenness came into the world, and hurt came into the world. So for most people, unless the Lord has brought healing to your heart, when you think about your earthly father, and maybe even now, just take a moment and just think about your earthly father. Just think about the way he treated you. You know, in my culture, you don't question authority. It's changing now, but when I grew up, you don't look at, there's not even a possibility that your parents may have faults. You know, it's like, so when the Lord started to heal my heart, I really had to look at it. And it's not to dishonor our fathers, and it's not to blame them, but it's for our own healing. That we need to look at how our fathers really treated us. How were they? And it's not just the things that happened to us, but it's also the things that we didn't receive, like the hugs and the cuddles, the time, that affirmation, that speaking into your life, calling you forth. It's all of those things. And now think about God the Father. Unless the Lord has brought healing to your heart, you probably have the same kind of feelings towards Him. And He wants to come and He wants to bring restoration to those paths, because He wants us to know Him for who He really is. When I grew up, and most of my life, I had a theological understanding that God loves me. Scripture is clear that God is our Father and that we are His children and He loved us. But I only knew it as a theological truth. It was not revelation in my heart. Because when it's revelation in your heart, that's when it changes you. You know, and one of those beautiful scriptures is in 1 John 3 verse 1 that says, see how great the love is that the Lord has lavished on us. And one version said that the Lord has given us that we should be called, bestowed on us, is what it says, that we should be called children of God. See what great, love, this is it, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Amen. And that is who we are. You know, if I come to you and I teach you about, you know, how to do parachute jumping, and I give you all the facts about it, and give you all the details of how to do it, and then in the end I tell you, oh, there's a little part, I've never done it myself. You know, that is a big part that's missing there, because I do not have experiential truth. I only have the parts to tell you exactly how to do it, but I don't have the experience of it. And that's the same with the Father's love. You know, we can know everything about it, but we need to know Him. The truth needs to be an experiential truth, that we know that who He is, that he is our Father. You know, there's many people who are stalking God. You know, when you're stalking somebody, you know everything about them. You can even read about them. You know who they meet. You know what they eat. You can go through their garbage and see what they eat. You know, but you do not know that person heart to heart. When you meet that person, you don't know them heart to heart. And that is with God. Many people know a lot about God, but they do not know His heart. And He wants to be known. He wants us to know His heart. You know, just think about a situation that you are in right now. Many times, you know, difficult situations reveal what we really believe about God. You know, it's easy to say with God, all things are possible. You know, nothing is impossible with God. Until we get in that place and it's like, ooh, do I really believe it? You know, do you really believe in your heart that God's going to pull you through, that He has the answer, that He has your best interest at His heart? Or do you feel He's just distant, He's probably helping somebody else? Are you afraid of Him? Are you wondering, I wonder what mood He's in? Do you feel He's too busy? He doesn't have time for me. He's not interested in me. You know, you can be saved. You can have received a measure of healing. You can have received deliverance. You can be anointed. You can even working signs, miracles, and wonders. But unless your heart knows that you have a place in the Father's heart, that He has completely received you, that He has completely accepted you, that you can truly rest in His love. Unless your heart has revelation of that, then you're probably still struggling with different kinds of fears, you know, fear of man or insecurities, feeling inferior to other people, inferiority. Maybe you struggle with rejection and just feel you're always being rejected, or maybe a fear of abandonment, or there's a deep sense of loneliness in your heart. You know, maybe you're trying to fill that void or to cover it up with addictions, and you're not even aware, you're not even making the connection that it's actually a deep place in my heart that needs love, that needs to be received, that needs to know that you are accepted and loved. And that's what a father wants to do. He wants to come into those deep places, and he wants to bring healing. He wants to show us that he is Father. Because really, when those things are happening in our lives, where we really are at is that we are spiritual orphans. If you look at a natural orphan, especially coming out of some orphans for orphanages of some countries, those kids are tough. And they are fighting for themselves. And many times when those kids are adopted, in the beginning they hoard food, because in their rooms, the people who adopt them find food hidden in their bedroom and their cupboard, because they don't know if there's going to be food tomorrow. It's survival mode. You know, and many times without even realizing it, we are living our lives as spiritual orphans, not knowing that we have a father that cares deeply for us. He's already in our tomorrow, and he's got so much that he wants to give us. And he wants to pour in his love into our hearts. You know, and this doesn't mean that we are bad people, but we need to look at it. And another one I wanted to mention is jealousy. If you still struggle with jealousy, you know, jealousy really says that you do not know that God has a place for you. And if you have a problem when you see other people excel past you and it makes you nervous and you feel, oh, why is it not me? Then that's another sign that you don't know the Father in that place, that you're afraid somebody else is going to take your place and you don't have a place. Because we're all in different seasons. You know, we need to be able to bless the ones who's excelling, you know, and know why it's their season, you know. You know, I've been in difficult places, in difficult times, and I just knew in my heart, that the Father just spoke to me, it's going to be okay. But it's important to be able to bless those who's running in that season where you may be in a waiting season or maybe dealing with some issues of the heart. But to know that we need to bless as people excel. And, you know, we need to be open to acknowledge these things in our lives and to see, wow, you know, I see these things in my heart. Father, will you come and heal those things? And have people who love you to speak into your life, because many times we are in denial. And the essence of denial is that you are the last one to know. You know, I don't want to be the last one to know if I have an issue that's very obvious to everybody, you know. I want people to love me enough that will come and tell me, you know, do you realize this is how you react? This is what you're doing. It's like, wow. And then take it to the Lord and ask the Lord to bring healing to those parts. Many years ago, I was still in South Africa. Dr. Miles Monroe came to our church there. And he asked the question, where's the place with the most wealth in the world? And many people say different things, the oil fields. Some people in Africa will say America. We said America. But he said it's the graveyard. Because so many books were never written, so many songs were never composed, so many things were never invented, so many businesses were never opened, because those people didn't know they had it in them. And the Father is the only one who knows what is put inside of us. And as we come to him, as we get to know him, he will call that forth and he'll take away. He's taken so many things around my neck, labels that I've put around myself, that people have put around me, and he's taken them off and he has shown me how he sees me, who I am in him, who he is in me. just want to give a scriptural foundation for this message. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if Jesus is the way, then there's a destination. And that is the Father's heart. It is our Father. Many people are okay with Jesus, but they are distant from the Father. But Jesus said to Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And in John 5, 19, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. So the Son, all the amazing things that Jesus did on the earth came from the Father. And then I love this scripture in John 14, verse 18, that says, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And he said that to his disciples. And in scripture, it's clear that at least some of the disciples' parents' names are mentioned, or they are mentioned that they have parents. So at least not all of them were orphans, if any of them were orphans. So and Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. So it's the Father looking at us and say, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you spiritual orphans, but I will come to you. And in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, my heavenly Papa. And I just want to show you this picture. That is our son. He is in a foster home in Thailand at the moment. We've been in this process of adoption for about a year now. And the Lord is speaking more to us about adoption, that this kid, we've never even seen him face to face, but he's got such a place in our hearts. And he feels like my son. He's my son. And hopefully he'll be here by the summer. So by the summer, you see a little Thai boy who's just learning to speak English run around here. So just be patient with him. He may look at you strange when you talk to him. He's just learning to speak English. So just pray, even now, Father, we just pray for this boy to learn English and to know you, to know that you love him. Thank you, Father. Such an incredible journey. You know, in my life, many of you have heard my story, but my father was addicted to pain medication and he was suffering from depression. And when he was not working, he would be just lying on his bed. He was just a very broken man. He was the product of his father. My father's father, my grandfather, was a very, very harsh man, and my father had more of a gentle heart, and his father just really broke him, and he was just a really broken man. He never told us he loved us. He didn't know how to show love. And in my life, because of that and some other things that played out, when I was about 7 years old, I told my mom that I wanted to die. I did not want to live anymore. And I was taken to hospital one time, and they did tests on me for a whole week. It had really not a good experience at all in that hospital. It was very traumatic for me, really. And I could not find out anything that was wrong with me. The doctor just said I was just completely stressed as a 7, 8-year-old. And when I was 9 years old, my parents divorced, and my mom moved to this little town to be closer to my grandparents. And I just remember feeling so much shame to be there without a father. And people treated us that we were different. I was very aware that I had no significance and that I was not important. And, you know, all those things, the way people treated you, it all spoke identity to me, who I was. I was really a nobody. And there was going to be no plan for my life, really. And when I was 14, my father died, and my mom married again, but it was more to give us a home. The man was not a father to us, and it played out in different ways. It was really, really hard. And then I went to the city, and I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus, and it was an incredible experience. I just remember receiving His grace. Just the grace, His grace is so amazing. I received His forgiveness, and from that place, I'm able to forgive other people because He's forgiven us. When we forgive people, we give them a gift. They don't deserve it, and we did not deserve our forgiveness. And when we forgive, we choose to stand with Jesus, and that's where our healing is. And I received the Holy Spirit, but it was only a few years later that I was on a mission trip to Zimbabwe, and we were in this big tent, and they were training us for a few days in this tent, and I fell asleep in every meeting. I was really tired going into it, and it was this soft grass. I don't know what they were thinking to do it in there, but I slept through it all, and one time I woke up, and they said, if you want a touch from the Father, come to the front, and I thought, wow, no, I've heard about the Father. My church there has been talking about the Father's heart for a long time, but I just felt the Lord said, no, you need to go. And I went to the front, and I just burst into tears. I was just sleeping. Next moment, I'm bursting into tears, and this elderly man came, and he just came, and he put his arms around me, and he just held me, and he started to touch my hair. He started to touch my face, and he spoke things to me, and that was the very first time I felt the tender touch of a father in my life. And in that moment, I received that, but a miracle happened in my heart. In my heart, I received a revelation that God is my Father. I am a daughter of the Most High God. He is my Papa. And it was just an incredible journey that started then. I was able to forgive my earthly father and just release him, although he's passed away many years. But I was just able, just for my own healing. You see, these things, like I said, it's not to dishonor our earthly fathers. It's not to blame them. It's for our own healing. And I was able to forgive him and, you know, repent for where I've judged him. And so much of my life changed. One of the main things that changed was I used to do things to be loved, to be accepted. But then it changed to where I live my life from a place where I'm already loved and accepted. And that's the place from where I live my life. And it completely changed everything. It's a whole nother way to live your life, to know that you are accepted and you have a safe place and you can rest. And from that place, you can take risks and you can do things. You can, you know, step into the things the Lord has because you know He will be there. He will never let you fall. And you can dream with Him and things that I never thought in my life I could ever do. The Lord started to just stir in my heart and I was able to dream with Him. You know, one thought that crossed my mind when I was in high school, I wanted to be a spy in high school. And now the Lord is taking me to these places around the world, in dark places and places where, you know, most people are from another faith, and I see Him move. And I remember one time in this moment, I was hearing prayers outside from another faith, and inside I was looking at Jesus setting this person free. And we've been to many places that, you know, most of the meetings I do there, all the meetings I do there is illegal, but just to go with Him and do these things and see how He moved, and it makes me come alive. It's this adventure that I have with the Lord, and He's put it inside of me. And that's for all of each one of us. Have a different, we are different. Maybe that is not at all your cup of tea, but you know, for me to do things with the Lord like that, I like that cutting edge. One time I said to the Lord, I want to live on the edge. And just the next week I had to catch a plane and I almost missed it. And as I came to check my luggage, the lady looked at me and she said, you're living on the edge. And I was like, I'm living on the edge. Thank you, Lord. I'm back. Thank you, Lord. I am watching the clock, but I just want to do this quickly. I just feel this is important. Oh, Stephen, can you help me? I just want to put it, just put them out. Thank you. Yeah, in Luke 15, we're all familiar with the story of Luke 15 about the prodigal son, but it's really the story of the extravagant father, how the son wanted his inheritance, and he went away, and he just spilled it all, he spent it all, he had really bad living, he was, you know, drinking, and there was probably women involved, and just a lot of stuff, and he remembered his father, and then he said, wow, I'm here, the pigs are eating better than I am, I'm going to go back to my father. But he did not expect a good response from his father. But in that story, we see that the father completely received him and completely accepted him. And the father was running to meet his son. It's an incredible story. And I just want to draw this picture. Oh, I made this one too big. Sorry. Okay. I just want us to say a few things that what are things that earthly fathers struggle with. And again, it's not the same for every father, but what are negative things in fathers that's not like the perfect father, God the Father? I just want you to shout them out. Anger. Control, impatient, absent, abuse, power trip, pride, or a hard heart, don't know how to show emotion. Fear, don't know, rejection, lack of love, no affection, abandonment, arrogance, control, I've got control. I'm sorry, say that again. Bitterness.
Lust.
Yeah, lustful.
Unforgiveness.
Yeah, discipline from a place of anger, not love. Discipline.
Lack of compassion.
Okay, this is a good list. So let's give, what makes somebody a perfect father? Love. All the time in the world. Acceptance. Gentleness. With gentleness, support. Forgiveness. Fairness, yes, he's fair. Tender warrior.
Unconditional.
Patience.
Affectionate.
What about wealthy? What about good looking? Good looking, joy, strong. good, and is of smart, peaceful. What about wisdom? He's wise, patient, anointed, playful, sacrificial. Okay, protection. Okay, this is a good list. I want to show you why it's so important for us to know our fathers. So like I said earlier, our earthly fathers are like the glasses we look at God the Father. And this is what happens. We look at God the Father through our earthly fathers. So just look at this. So you want to take, God is telling you, he wants you to do this, but you cannot trust him because you were not able to trust your father or your earthly father didn't have time for you. And now you want to come to God the Father, but you're not sure if he has time for you. Or you know, your earthly father walked in unforgiveness. So you're not sure if God the Father is really going to forgive you, or where your earthly father has rejected you and you're afraid to come to God the Father because you're not sure if he's going to receive you or he's going to reject you. Do you see how this is so important for us to deal with our earthly fathers so we can know our Heavenly Father for who he really is? And for each person, this is different. And if the father is telling you he wants you to do something and you need the finances for it, but you didn't receive from your earthly father, so you don't trust to know that he's going to be there and he's going to bring everything, he's going to bring the provision. And that you have, and that the father is safe. If we put abuse on here, yeah, abuse. Now, that really such us down to receive from our Heavenly Father. I know a lady who said to me that she's received a lot of healing from her from God the Father, but there was still a place where she was afraid of him because of the abuse she received from her earthly father. So let's close our eyes. We're going to go into time of this ministry, and then we're going to have communion together. Let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Father. Father, this morning, we bring our earthly fathers to you. And Father, it's not to blame them. It's not to dishonor them. But we're doing it for our own healing. We need healing, Lord. We want to know you for who you really are. We don't want any lies to hinder us from who you are, because we want all that you have for us, all the love that you have for us, and we want to step into all that you have for us. Thank you, Father. So I want you just to look at your earthly father with a heart to receive healing for yourself. Quietly, to start to tell the Lord how your earthly father was, how he is. You know, we don't want to go home and call them and tell them how they failed us. This is for our healing. Whatever you were doing, my dance recital, just even the teacher night, and he would just show some interest, but he was never there. Maybe you just didn't know how he was going to react when he comes in. Maybe he was an alcoholic and you just didn't know what it's going to look like. And you can even still feel that fear when you hear the word Father. For some people, when you hear the word Father, it is just this warm, fuzzy feeling. And for some people, when I say Father, it has a whole nother meaning. That first step of healing is that speaking it out. I forgive you. And I repent for judging you. Thank you, Father. This process with the Lord, just let Him speak to your heart. I just want to ask the ministry team couples to come to the front, please. You know, I have shared with you how that one hug completely changed my life. And we are here in a safe place. We are family. And the Lord is touching you now and you just need a hug. Maybe you also never received a hug. I just want you to come and just receive a hug in this place. Just come, don't be afraid. You'll never be the same. So everybody, just close your eyes. This is, let be a private moment here in the front. Just close your eyes. Let the Lord speak to you. Just receive from Him. Just receive His love. Just receive the Father's love. Thank you, Father. These people are going to speak a Father's blessing over you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. What you're doing, just keep on receiving. Just let Him pour His love into your heart. Just let this music minister to your heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you are doing. Show us who we are, Lord. Ask Him, Father, who am I? Ask Him, Father, how do you see me? All alone, your tears go out into the night. Is He there? Thank you, Father. Does He care? Thank you for your love, Lord. Yes, I know. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The voice of singing to you, the hand that cleans to you. Oh, my child, I've always known your name. Thank you, Father. Love you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you that your love is unconditional. thank you that we are your children.
I hold you close to me, close to heart. And this kind of love will find you anywhere you are. Never fear, I am here.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, I
Father, love you so much. Thank you, Father. I feel the Father saying to different people here that is hearing, saying, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. And I feel the Father saying to people here that He knows where you've been. He knows what happened to you. And as you come to Him, He will bring healing. Thank you, Father. We need some more fathers and mothers here in the front. Corinne and David. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just rest in this moment. Joanne, come. You and your husband. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Who else wants a hug? Come. Look like you want a hug. Thank you, Father. Get your husband. Hug her and speak a Father's blessing over her. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Father. Who else needs a hug? We're going to go into communion in a moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. We need another hug. I just want the people with communion to get ready to serve communion. And the people here in the front, just take your time, just stay here. We're going to serve communion here with one another. Let's put that music a little bit. Let this music just minister to your heart as we wait. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for lives that's been forever transformed, forever changed in this place. Thank you, Father. I just want everybody to stand. Everybody just take a moment. It's the people in the front, just continue. I just want to know if there's anybody here. Maybe you've not even started in the beginning. Maybe you've not even given your life to Jesus. If there's anybody like that, I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody you've never given your life to Jesus that you realize today, you know, I'm not even by the entry point. I don't know Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. Is there anybody here today that you do not know Jesus? Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of it. So we all know Jesus here today. Is there anybody, if your heart is beating fast and it's you, don't be ashamed. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask the team to give out the communion and handy.
If we could ask the ushers to come forward, we're going to take up an offering for the house of blessing. This is part of our worship, guys, and I just want to thank you for what you do for the House of Blessing. Over January and February, even with all the snow days, we had to be closed, but we still were able to serve 854 families. That's 2,472 individuals. And what does the word say, folks? That when we give to the least of these, we minister to Him. 2,472 times we ministered to Jesus through the people of this community. That is a very, very special thing. So as the baskets go around, you can make your offerings for House of Blessing.
And just hold the elements. We're going to have communion together.
All the proceeds of this are going to go for food and financial support for the local community through the House of Blessing. Thank you so much.
Can you please serve the people in the front? I want them to have communion together in these groups. So this is the people who've ministered. Just stay here with the people in the front. I want us to have communion together as a group. So just have communion. Can you please bring the elements to the front and serve the people here? I want us to, as families, as the Lord ministers here, have communion together. Thank you, Father. Now, are we almost ready? I just want all the people here in the front, and this gift to Jojo and Josie. And we need bread in the front too, please. We need bread in the front. And then we'll serve communion. Is the bread coming? It's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, communion is not a ritual, but it's a blessing to receive. It's a blessing of His health and wholeness that we receive. And the bread is the greatest demonstration of love, because it represents His body that was beaten and broken and bruised for us, for me, for you. So when we partake of the bread, it's a divine exchange. We receive His health and wholeness, and He takes our sickness. It's a divine exchange. The greatest expression of love is when Jesus died and His body was broken for us. So Jesus said, remember me in this. So let's remember Him as you eat this bread, as you receive it, receive the blessing of health and wholeness in Jesus' name. Let's receive it together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive it. Just receive. So I receive your health. I receive your wholeness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And He said, here's the cup. This is the new covenant. Jesus died so we can be forgiven. We can be free. You know, there's nothing that you've done that's too big for Him to forgive you for. But also, there's nothing that was done to you that's too big for Him to heal you from. Isn't that good news? So He died for forgiveness, but also that we forever can be righteous, holy, and blameless, so that we can be in right standing with our Father, so we can boldly come into the presence of our Father because Jesus paid the ultimate price. Isn't that amazing? So let's receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue with our ministry time here. If you still need a hug, please come. But I bless you to receive more of the Father's love. And I bless you to step into all that He has for you. And that His love will just flow through you to all of those around you. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Because you made